freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Patriot Coalition Live. I'm Matthew Nugent.
And I'm Jason Marocek.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Our goal is to create a timeless resource to teach about the U.S. Constitution, the proper role of government, the importance of America's Judeo-Christian heritage, and how to defend against threats to our republic. Folks, we want to engage members of our armed forces, veterans, first responders, and the patriots who support them in the noble professions, which includes soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and now we know, after their one-year anniversary, members of the Space Force, the Guardians. That's right, everybody. We now know that members of the Space Force are called the Guardians. So welcome. We want to reach you, whether you're here on Earth or in space. Also, your support is important to us. Please support us at patriotcoalitionlive.com/support. It does matter. Weekly episodes are available Tuesday mornings wherever you get your podcasts, places like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Or you can find us at patriotcoalitionlive.com. If you'd like to see us in the podcast in video, you can find us at patriotcoalitionlive.com or at rumble.com, rumble.com, the uncensored alternative to YouTube. All right, y'all ready?
I am.
Let's do this. Title of today's episode is The Birth of a Great Nation and Embracing Liberty, the Declaration of Independence. This is part two of three parts. Jason?
Yeah. Well, we, as you guys know, we started last week on this three-part episode just to dive deep into the Declaration of Independence. So this week, we're going to continue. Last week, we just covered the preamble and the second paragraph. Mm-hmm. And this week, we're going to go through some of the grievances. We won't get them all today, but mm-hmm. We're going to dive deep and just talk about the kind of the historical context and what they meant for us. So if you have a copy of the Declaration of Independence handy, you may want to open it up and follow along so you can see what it is that we're talking about. We're going to read each grievance before we discuss it, but it'll be good for you to refer back to. So let's get started. So the very first grievance that is listed, I think what we'll do is let's just talk about how we're introducing this. So I'm actually pulling out my copy right now and I'm going to read right before where we start listing the grievances. He says, to prove this is Thomas Jefferson and the authors, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So this is his introduction, and then he sends all of his, he talks about all 27 of the grievances. So mm-hmm. the very mm-hmm. first one, these are the facts that he's describing to everybody. The first grievance, he says, he has refused, he's talking about he being, when you hear this, all the he's are the king of England, right? King of Great Britain, George, King George III. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. So this first grievance is pretty general. He's laying out the case that, look, we are trying in the colonies to create laws in our legislatures that are for the public good, that are trying to protect our liberty, to make it sure that we are able to conduct commerce and trade mm-hmm. effectively. And they're for our public good. And the king is not allowing that to happen. He's refusing his assent, meaning that he had to approve the laws that came through the colonies. Now, there's a lot of them that this happened to, but one of the ones that I like to use as an example actually has to do with slavery. And I'm going to take a step back here. So before Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence mm-hmm. in that committee, I called his trial run. He actually wrote a pamphlet called the Summary View of the Rights of British America. And this is in 1774. And in that, it's about a 26-page document. Because he got ill, he wasn't able to go to a convention of delegates in Virginia. And so he basically wrote out his comments for what he wanted to share there. And this was almost a trial run for the Declaration of Independence. So the reason why I'm telling you that is because in that document, he talks about many of these grievances. So if you ever want to understand a little bit of the history of the Declaration of Independence, where that stuff came from, you can read it there. But getting back to this first grievance, where he says he was refused to his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. The example that I like to use in describing this, I'm going to pull out and I'm going to read directly from the Jefferson Summary View of the Rights of British America. And it has to do with slavery.
Reading. What's that? This is definitely worth reading verbatim.
Yeah, and we'll, as we always say, we'll put this stuff in the show notes, and we'll probably also put this summary view in our Freedom Library, which you can find at patriotcoalitionlive.com. So this is reading from the Summary View of the Rights of British America in 1774. This is Jefferson's writing. For the most trifling reasons, and sometimes for no conceivable reason at all, His Majesty has rejected laws of the most salutary tendency. The abolition of domestic slavery is the great object of desire in those colonies, where it was unhappily introduced in their infant state. But previous to the enfranchisement of the slaves we have, it is necessary to exclude all further importations from Africa. Yet our repeated attempts to effect this by prohibitions and by imposing duties, which might amount to a prohibition, have been hitherto defeated by His Majesty's negative. So this is a pretty strong statement from Thomas Jefferson, who people say, you know, oh, he was a slave owner and so forth. He's telling us in this document that they have been trying to get the king to abolish slavery. And every time one of their legislatures passes a bill and sends it to the king for his approval, he says no. He doesn't want to abolish slavery. So we were trying, but the king would not allow it. So this is one example of how he refused to assent to the laws, which are anybody can tell you this is definitely wholesome and necessary for the public good to abolish slavery. And the king just would not allow it. So that's our first grievance. Our second grievance, he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. Okay, so you have to understand a little bit of the context about this. So during the colonial period, the king had instructed the governors who were similar to today. Once legislature passed a bill, it would go to the governor for his approval, right? But the king had talked to the governors and said, look, anytime you get a bill, you need to make sure that you don't approve any bill unless there's specific language in it. And the specific language says that before this bill can be operational or can go live, I have to approve it as the king. So the bill language says, oh, this won't happen unless the king approves it, which was essentially inserting himself into our legislative ability.
Yeah, and they didn't have email back then. So if you could imagine, if you wanted to buy a piece of property and there needed to be a law changed, it had to be approved through the legislature. Then the executive power needed to approve it, which would be the king. So it had to go through a process of someone had to write a letter. It had to be shipped through on a ship overseas across the Great Atlantic, which I think took about 3 months. The king had to consider it, and then another few months. So that's truly snail mail, if there's such a waterborne thing as a snail. But so,
and that's if he gave his assent, right? Because sometimes it would sit on his desk and he wouldn't do anything, which is the part of what the grievance. But to your point, Matt, even if they did approve it, it would be a minimum of probably 6 months before they could actually see the benefit of the laws that they're passing. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Matt. If there's something else you
have
to
say. I interrupted you.
No, that's all right.
But what you guys are going to see is that the legislature is so important. Things that we take for granted. You walk outside, you drive to the store, and so many laws were put into place so you could just live your life. You know, how food is produced. You know, back then they didn't have telephones or anything like that. But they're so important even to a growing nation. And a lot of it was wilderness, but they needed the legislative process to proceed and make a life and establish laws and establish ownership and have commerce. And not only that, and you'll see they needed to be efficient in their manufacturing and how they spent their money and how they used their substance. And what I've learned going through this, and I think you'll agree, is that there are many aspects of just legislature that apply to our life that we don't even think about, that we take for granted. And Thomas Jefferson here, you know, obviously with the help of the other founders, but he's the writer. He penned what their ideas were. And you'll see that so much of our lives we take for granted that the legislature does for us today.
Yeah. Okay, well, so let's move on to the third grievance. It says, he has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. So he's saying here that, you know, he's not going to allow people to create new subdivisions of their states, new counties, essentially, is what that is. Mm-hmm. Unless when they create those counties, the people say, that's okay, I don't need representation in the legislature. Well, this is only good for the king. This is not good for the people. And that's why it says it's inestimable to them. And it's formidable to tyrants only. It's formidable when a tyrant has somebody who's able to represent himself. And so that's what he was trying to prevent. And the example here is in Virginia. I mean, if you recall, if you think about it on a map, Virginia back in the day included Kentucky. It was yep. a really long state, right? So the mm-hmm. western part of Virginia, these counties were like 100 more miles long. And so if you can imagine, if you're trying to conduct business with a county, you've got to travel a long 100 miles back then was a long way. And you've got to travel all that way to do business and to, I don't know, record a deed or do whatever you needed to do. So the colonist solution was, hey, we're going to actually subdivide these counties mm-hmm. and we're going to create smaller ones to make it easier for the people to conduct their business.
And here's something else, if I could add. Talking about the basic things every day. How about a school? Schools are paid for by county taxes, city taxes. If you've got a county that's 100 miles in breadth, think about that. If it's in the center of the city, the town, the county seat, you know, basically the town hall, if you will. If you are on the outskirts, you could be 50 miles from a school. You know, I mean, that makes life difficult. And in terms of raising children, educating children, extremely difficult. Things we take very much for granted today.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the colonist solution was, hey, let's subdivide these counties. Let's make them smaller. And the king said, no, you can do that, but only if the people that reside in the new county give up their right to represent themselves in the colonial legislature. And that just wasn't happening. So that was obviously a huge grievance for the colonists. Okay. So the fourth grievance, he has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. So imagine, you know, today we've got, you know, here in Texas, a state legislature, and it meets every other year here, so they can do less damage to us. Anyways, even here in Texas,
that's right.
We have, it's a huge state, and Austin is pretty far away from North Texas. So that's in Sacramento and California is the same way. But imagine, you know, you have all the legislators are used to having their business conducted in one place. And suddenly the king, you know, through the governor, decides to say, oh no, you're no longer meeting in Sacramento. You're going to meet in Eureka, or you're going to meet in Chula Vista. So all those people who have all their stuff in one place in let's say California, or used to be in Austin, but now it's going to be in Laredo, or, you know, instead of, you know, you get the point, right? Now all those documents,
I mean, it's not Delaware. That's right. Like, you know, you could run across it.
It's exactly right. Island. But now you have to, all your records, all your offices, what you're used to is somewhere else. That makes it extremely inconvenient. And that's why he says places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant, right? And the example here is in Massachusetts, right? Governor Hutchinson of Massachusetts, he actually moved their assembly to Cambridge from Boston. You know, back then, that's not a huge distance, but well, back then, I guess it was a bigger distance than it seems like today. And allegedly, this was to make it so that they were safe from all of the shenanigans and the uproar over what was happening in Boston at the time. And it was for, quote unquote, safety. But really, this distance, it takes the king's intent was to take it away from the heated politics of the day. Right. He didn't want all of that emotion and the people's anger at the king to influence the legislature and says, oh, I'll just take it and put it somewhere else so it won't impact their decisions and make it very difficult.
So that's an old fashioned version of censorship. Today, we saw right around the time of the 2020 presidential election. Right now it's 2021. So happy new year, everybody. We saw how Twitter basically censored with the New York Post from using Twitter at all. And, you know, now it's done through social media giants, social media tyrants. It's happening right now. And similarly, people can sue you today, even though you're innocent, because the process is the punishment. The process is used to punish and weaken people. Back then, the king would move the center of where legislation would take place to both censor and to punish. The same thing is going on right now. And it took the best, the greatest thinkers of our nation, who were visionaries, to recognize what was going on and had the courage to do something about it. Which, guys, it's an allegory of what's going on today. So, I say that just to add context to what we're doing, and so you can have a story. And well, what does that mean today? It is happening right now. It's January 1st, 2021, and that kind of dates us, but who knows where you're going to be in 5 to 10 years, okay? Tyranny doesn't change. It just changes its name, okay? And this is an example of it in, you know, 1776, but it still goes on today in 2021, and it takes thinking, educated, courageous patriots to... In this case, Jefferson enumerated the 27 grievances and explained them.
Right. That's exactly right. Okay, so let's talk about grievance number 5, which says he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. So this is talking about, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but he's basically said, you know what, you representatives are no longer allowed to meet to create laws. And right. And the reason is because I always thought this was a funny line, because they opposed with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. Because the legislatures were standing up to the king and they were saying, no, we create our own laws here. We represent ourselves and we are going to stand up for our rights. The king said, nope, you're not going to meet. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it makes it very useful to have a standing army in on the continent to make sure that those legislatures don't meet too. So, you know, because these legislatures were opposing his tyranny, the king basically dissolved them, right? A power which the British Constitution did not even grant the king, right? Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was an example in England where the Parliament there was becoming out of control, and the people were petitioning the king to abolish the parliament. And the parliament says, no, sir, in our constitution, it says that you cannot abolish our parliament. And yet here he is, you know, 1,000 miles away or so, and he's trying to abolish legislatures that don't even answer to him. So this was a huge issue for the colonists.
So think about how far the tendrils of tyranny have penetrated into the colonial society. Understand this, guys. Tyrants are not stupid. Okay, I think King George might have been insane, but his tyrant
certainly
his
an egomaniac.
He was not stupid. He wanted, well, he had power. He wanted to maintain power, put on a tyranny against us. And he did it in every aspect of our life. And the greater the tyranny, the greater the penetration of, you know, tyranny into the lives. And some of you have already woken up to what's going on today in society and around the world. Some of you are in the process of being convinced. Some of you are maybe the Tories who support, yeah, we should do this. Socialism is a good thing. But it's going to take people who are liberty woke. I'll call that. That's my new phrase, trademark, liberty woke. Because there's woke and there's the liberty woke. Jason and I, we are the liberty woke and we are doing something about it. Once you do get woke, liberty woke, do something. Okay, there are some people that you can convince, some people that you never will, some people that understand and really want socialism to take over for their own reasons. But the big takeaway here, though, is tyranny is three-dimensional. Okay, it's not just one thing. There are multiple aspects of it. And once you become liberty woke and aware, you start to notice things around you and say, they manufacture the elections machines. That's weird. You know, they own the software to that. And if you have kids and ever watched the Lego movie, you'll know what I'm talking about, you know, but kind of funny about that. But I'm using, you know, pop culture to describe it. Hey, if it works, you know, hey, for liberty.
Well, it's interesting. You say the tendrils of liberty. I mean, and the farther those extend and the longer the
tendrils of tyranny.
I'm sorry, tyranny. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, tendrils of tyranny. Mm-hmm. The longer those extend and the more firm they have a grasp, the harder it is that to get rid of. Right. And even we talked about it in the last episode the first episode of this series is that, you know, people are not going to want to change their government for light and transient causes. And the farther those tendrils of tyranny grasp, the harder it is to remove them. And the more difficult it's going to be on us as well in order to get them removed. And that's one of the problems that we're facing today, is that too many people, I believe that we should be able to snap our fingers, have a silver bullet, and all the problems that we've created allowed to create over the last, you know, 80-100 years can just go away without any pain. And that's just not realistic. And that's why we have to slow the growth of these tendrils of tyranny. So,
in fact, one of our greatest enemies is that you can't see it here, but I've got my phone in front of me. It's the digital pacifier, called your smartphone. Tyranny's all around me, but I'll just, you know, get online and get on social media or I'll just play a video game and I'll just, you know, do the ostrich thing. Put your head in the sand and just, it'll go away, you know. Put your head under the covers and just, it'll go away. Guys, don't do that. Pop your head up every once in a while off that smartphone. Look around what's going on. America needs you, patriots.
That's exactly right. Okay, well, let's move on. So grievance number 6. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions, the dissolutions we were just talking about, dissolutions of the legislature. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, other legislatures, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without. and convulsions within. Okay, so kind of a long grievance. What are you saying that? Okay, so now after he's dissolved the legislatures, he's refused others to take their place. So now there's no legislature. Well, as we learned about when we talked about Locke's second treatise, the people retain all the power. In fact, Thomas Jefferson says that in the preamble, the people retain all the power. The government gets their power from the people. So if there's no legislature that's a formal body, that power just dissolves back to the people independently, right? Mm-hmm. And collectively, even if they're not in an organized body. So, but those people, if they're not in an organized body, they're going to have a hard time disseminating and creating laws to protect the liberties of their fellow man. And so by doing this, by the king not, after dissolving and not establishing new legislatures, the people are at risk of, you know, they can't organize, let's say...
Chaos. It's chaos.
Yeah. They can't organize laws to defend against, let's say, people who are encroaching on property, stealing. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't organize their militias as well, right? So all these things, they're in danger. And that's why at the end he says, exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. And that's what the king has done to them.
There you go. And I'll read number the seventh grievance. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. Okay, pretty much any country where people migrate to, it attracts the hardworking, the industrious, the educated, ambitious people, and they make a great nation. America is a great example of that. Millions of people come to the United States every year because of the opportunity, and often it attracts the productive, the ambitious, the hardworking. And what the king was doing was he was inserting himself into the process of land acquisition and inflating the prices. So people in England, for example, who wanted to go to the United States, or not the United States, but to the colonies at the time, I'm out of time.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, you know. So that's called an anachronism, by the way, you know, talking something out of time. But it would discourage the ambitious, you know, the educated, the skilled workers from coming to the colonies. And this would stagnate the growth and prosperity of those colonies. Okay.
Yeah. These colonies, they needed those hardworking, industrious, tradesmen even to build their economy. And the king, I mean, on the other side of the coin, he's like, I don't want these people to leave. These are the people who are driving our economy. And so what does he do? He says, oh, all that land over there, that's mine, and I'm going to raise the price. If you want to go there, you're going to have to pay me even more.
And how was he able to declare it his own? Because he made the laws and took out our legislatures, those tendrils of tyranny reaching deep down into the colony's dirt. So number eight, he has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. There are different aspects of legislatures, due process for if someone is commits a crime or is accused of a crime, or how about just law in terms of, you know, hey, this is my plot of land. I can put up, you know, fence posts here. So there are different aspects of, you know, due process, you know, I'm the civic law, for example. And the king said no. And he also would, because people need judges to arbitrate issues and to administer some sort of due process for criminality. And back when it was, I guess this would be the Wild East. This is the Wild West before the Wild West. They went west across
before the Wild West was cool. It was the Wild
and
East.
So it was, this is the cool before it was cool, you know, kind of like what we talked about on a previous episode. You know, when was Prohibition? Which one? You know, the America Prohibition or the Prohibition of alcohol back in 1919. So So that meant more chaos for the people and more control of the king. Next, number
you
nine.
You know what? I'll just give this example. In that time during the colonial era, North Carolina, they tried to pass a law that would establish their judiciary in North Carolina. And the king came in and said, nope, that's you're not going to do that. That is my authority to be the decide the judiciary, and you're not going to do that. And, you know, what does that do? That just basically invites chaos, you know, that when the judiciary is not subject to the people who are in that geography, right? They're subject to somebody who's far off in another land, right?
So think about this. He wouldn't let the people organize themselves, but he would definitely tax them. We were definitely subjects. All we were is we're bodies. We were like cattle to him. That's all that we were, which is typical of a tyranny, a tyrant, or as you mentioned, Jason, or earlier, an egomaniac. They just care about themselves, their own goals. I think sociopath falls into that category too. And you'll see it with tyrants, and there are different levels of tyrants too. So let's see here, number nine. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. Okay, here's the deal, guys. No matter how good of a person you are or strive to be, if someone has got you by the throat, and I don't know if you can see this right now, but I've got my hand like up to someone's throat, okay? And if they own your paycheck, they're gonna have some control and influence over your decisions, okay? And what we'll see here, the tyranny is extending through many aspects of life. So if someone wants to, you know, establish, you know, in the wilderness, 50 miles away, their own plot of land, and there is a judge that has been, you know, put into a seat of a justice of some sort, and the king knows that he doesn't want anybody to establish new land, the judge is kind of in a quandary. And that's where the king is, you know, oppressing us with more tyranny. So it's just example after example after example.
Yeah, this essentially is that it goes hand in glove with the last grievance, but it essentially establishes that, look, you're not going to have an independent judiciary. You're not going to have somebody who's not beholden to the laws of the land. They're going to, oh yeah, here's the laws, but if I want to keep my seat, if I want to be paid a good salary, I kind of have to be on the good graces of the king. And so what does that do? Instead of, you know, today, again, to Matt's point earlier, we are very accustomed to having three separate and distinct branches of government that kind of play against each other. But when you wrap the executive and the judiciary, and to some degree, as we've talked about, the legislative into one person, that spells tyrant.
Yeah. And the tyrants or the monarchs at the time, I mean, it's rare that you see a benevolent dictator. It's extremely rare. Maybe, Jason, you could think of one. Maybe it'd be a discussion for another episode. But they held office. As long as they lived, they had a kingdom. So they looked out 20, 30, 40 years ahead. Because that's, you know, it's not uncommon for a king to be in power that long, unless they were assassinated, you know, what have you, but or in a war, what have you. But so they would think, what can I do to increase my power and limit their power? And they reach into every aspect of people's lives. So what this is, these grievances here, is something worth your study and our study. So we can say, well, that's what tyranny looked like then. What does tyranny look like today? I mentioned it earlier with censorship. Big tech is doing it big tech. There's Google, Twitter, Facebook.
Instagram, are some examples.
And Instagram is owned by Facebook. So those mega companies, multi-trillion dollar companies. I think Google's worth more than $1 trillion. They're owned and controlled by about half a dozen people. and they control what we see. And they can, and if you control the information, both what is not given to them, okay, or what the messages are, you control the people, albeit indirectly. Okay, so you can use the 27 grievances from the Declaration of Independence as, you know, a social science, if you will. You know, if you're a chemist, you know, okay, if I add these ingredients together, I'll get a certain product. Well, in terms of social science, political science, what does tyranny look like? Well, that was then. Well, this is now. So you can look at this and study this and say, well, what are the tyrants today doing to us? Now you might say, what do you mean tyranny? Okay, understand this. We've already established Jason and I are liberty woke. Okay, if you are liberty woke, this will make sense to you. If you are not liberty woke, then you'll be thinking, no, there's no tyranny. There was no fraud in the 2020 election. Okay.
You reminded me of the other day I posted something on my Facebook page. It was while I was rereading the summary views of, Jefferson's summary views of rights of British America. And it talked about in there how the Boston Tea Party, you know, all they did was they threw a bunch of tea in the ocean, right? Because the actions of the king basically decimated their economy. He locked them down. And that was the sole, trade, you know, they were seafaring people. They were the trade and manufacturers. He shut that down. And so what are they supposed to do, right? They have nothing else that they can do. He's decimated their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. And you talk about, that's what tyranny looked like then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about today. Right?
Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen.
There may be a governor or two around the United States who has said, you know what? These businesses, you can't operate unless you do things my way. Right? And if you don't, well, how are those business owners supposed to make a living? Right? So, yeah, the king decimated their ability to make a living back then. But our governors have the same authority. I shouldn't say that. They don't have the same authority. They use the same power, which is different than authority today, to do the same thing. Keep that in mind.
Foot stomp, people. That was the lockdown before COVID. Okay? It was the lockdown before COVID. Now,
I'm talking
it's the,
to
the
you,
COVID
Governor
lockdown. Man. And so what do you do? Okay. All right. I'm getting off track here.
Yep.
But this is so relevant today, you know, and in a way, it's kind of exciting. Guys, when you are armed with knowledge and understanding, you can take action. A lot of us feel powerless. I mean, when you are liberty woke, you're like, what do I do? Okay, continue to educate yourself, share this. And we talked about it on previous episodes. So listen from episode one. But some points are so important, they're worth repeating again and again and again. So you got to educate yourself. You got to share it. You have to be a teacher yourself. And if you're a parent, if you're living, you influence others. Okay. And we'll go on. Okay, 10, he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substances. So what this applies to is more offices. One of those offices has to do with customs and commerce. For example, at the time, the American colonists were allowed to make iron. Okay. Iron ore is very plentiful in the United States, then the colonies. We were allowed to produce iron ingots but in order to make, for example, a wagon wheel, we couldn't make our own wagon wheels, which is of course made of, you know, iron and wood. We had to send or ship, you know, on a 3 month plus journey, the iron to England. England would manufacture the wagon wheel. They'd ship it back and then sell it to us. What would you rather have, folks? Would you like to use, I don't know, back then maybe $1.50 to purchase one wagon wheel or $1.50 to purchase four wagon wheels? I mean, you know, I mean, what it did, it inflated the price. And not only would in this, you know, number 10, you would have to pay for a person holding a political seat through your taxes, okay? But the laws that these unelected officials, unelected administrators, which we have the same issues today, okay? It's kind of interesting. I really see this mirroring.
Yep.
And very it would so. Take the substance, meaning their lives, because the dollar bill represents a substance of your life and your day of hours that you worked to produce it. And just another example of tyranny.
Yeah, these bureaucrats, essentially, I mean, they're not producing anything. They are, they're sitting there probably on the wharfs, you know, checking the cargo, et cetera, and then, you know, collecting customs for that. Well, they're not doing anything. They're examining cargo, and then they're taking people's money in order to ship really heavy things, like you mentioned, iron, across the sea just to have them mm-hmm. ship it back. And now they're taking that money, and obviously they're going to live off of it. So they're essentially, they're making their living off of the people's labors without really contributing anything. So
if in terms of those unnecessary administrators, it reminds me of, I think it was from Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. There is nothing new under the sun. Charlie Kirk says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. Okay. Do you see that here, guys? Administrators back then made life harder for people. They're doing the same thing today. Yep. President Trump put a stop to a lot of that. And because of that, our nation flourished. Okay. And the character of a nation and the success of a nation is its people. You know, and people make policy. And that's from the administrators up to the executives, in the case, you know, POTUS, President of the United States, as well as legislators and members of the judicial branch as well. So I'll read number 11. He has kept among us in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. Let's paint a picture here, okay? Wherever you live, whether it's a big city or whether it's a suburb, now imagine this. Say it's a suburb. A lot of us live in suburbs, okay? You go down to your Walmart, which is probably within a mile or two, okay? You go to Walmart. Now imagine there's a squad of folks in red coats there. Now, they're British soldiers. They've got these long muskets, and those weapons are armed. They are armed. And they're there to enforce laws and tell you what to do. And by the way, okay, I'll read number 12 because it'll make sense. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. What this means is that squad of redcoats with loaded muskets walking around, making sure that you are buying only products approved by the crown, okay? They are not beholden to civilian legislators. They are beholden to the king. They are agents and tools of the king. They've been given commands by their commanding officers and generals and eventually the king to make sure what he says happens. And they're willing to do it via a buttstock to your head, by shots. And it says here, and you know, through these grievances, and we'll see it further on down, that along with having armed armed forces around, they were getting away with literal murder. Yeah. Yes, and in fact, there were fake, you know, basically bogus tribunals put forth, and these soldiers who killed colonists were getting off scot-free. They're just done. And why? Because that's what the king wanted, to instill fear, because you knew there was no due process. Okay. You know, I've heard it said that there's a judicial system, there's a legal system in the United States, but they're for two groups of people. One is the Democrats and the other is the rest of the people. How many people have you heard in the last one or two or three or 5 years commit heinous crimes against the people, commit fraud, commit, you know, associated with murder or committing hoaxes against America, and they still haven't been arrested or tried? Or if they do get tried There's no evidence or insufficient evidence. Okay. Okay. It's the same thing we're seeing here. You hear that rhyming? You hear that rhyming of history?
Yeah. These two, the 11 and 12 grievances, brings the worst of both worlds. You have a standing army, as Matt said, mm-hmm. you know, let's say standing on the corner of the town or mm-hmm. every street or whatever. So you have a standing army, and that army is not answerable to anybody mm-hmm. who you know or has any authority local. It's all done from far away. So these people, they don't really have any repercussions, and there's no way for you to rein them in. So the worst of both worlds.
So when you've got someone who's got force with no accountability, you shall take that vaccine. I'll say that again. You shall take that COVID vaccine. There hasn't been much research, but you need to take the vaccine, or they'll say you could kill your grandmother. Okay. I have had people reach out to me and say, my boss, they're making me do this. Some they're coerced into doing it. Some of it is through fear. Some of it is through mass media, which we know that it's controlled only by about a half dozen people who are yeah. in cahoots with statists, leftists, people who want a socialist regime. And hear that rhyme, people. Yeah. Hear that yeah. rhyme. It's so, really you know, I'm inclined to say, because this has gone from, you know, educational to interesting to fun to infuriating, just in this one short episode. So I'm inclined to be a person of action, a man of action, both Jason and I. So what do you do? We've already said educate yourself, educate others. Have you, you know, listen, first, when you're convinced, okay, make it no longer, if you don't have to question that there's something going on, what do you do? Okay, I've already said educate yourself, share it with others. Jason, if someone were to ask you, what do I do? Jason's big phrase, which got me excited to join him in his purpose and mission of constitutional governance. Constitutional governance means liberty, equal opportunity, not equality of outcome, okay? But a single justice system, okay, that's blind under the law, okay? So Jason, what can people do to take action towards restoring? I know I'm going off script, but people right now are saying, okay, what do I do?
So what's the takeaway, right? So as Matt said, the first thing is, you know, you remove plausible deniability. Yeah, you can't say that we don't know what tyranny looks like. We don't know how it's affecting our lives. You know, that's gone. But the next step at that point is recognizing that it's we, the people, that have all of the authority, right? We can't just say, hey, it's a bunch of elected officials or they're bureaucrats, because we put the elected officials in power and they appoint the bureaucrats. So knowing that everything resolves and devolves back to us, we have to be more involved than just putting a sign in our yard that mm-hmm. says, hey, vote for, you know, Joe Smith, or mm-hmm. just sometimes going and voting. Sometimes that's enough, but more often than not, it's not enough. And so, we're in a situation where, well, we are where we are because we've done what we've done. It sounds really funny, but we can't continue to do what we're doing now and expect us to get some different results.
That's right. It's insanity.
Right. So if all we're doing is typing something on Facebook or putting a sign in our yard, or maybe just going to vote every 4 years, that's not mm-hmm. getting us. That's not getting us past the finish line. You have to get mm-hmm. more involved. You have to get mm-hmm. involved between, you know, after right. the general elections, right? After everyone's okay. been elected, start looking, picking your head up, and saying, "Okay, mm-hmm. who else can I find to run for office that is mm-hmm. not going to that understands the principles of liberty, understands what tyranny looks like, and is going to fight for my values and my principles, right? And go to work for that person." You have to go into your elected officials' offices today, and you have mm-hmm. to tell them, sir, this is not what the law says. Mm-hmm. This is not constitutional. And what you're proposing is not consistent with that. And so I'm mm-hmm. asking you to vote against it or to pull the bill or whatever it happens to be. And when they don't do that, then tell them, hey, look, okay, I'm going to find somebody to run against you, or I'm going to mm-hmm. support your opponent. we have to do more than just what's in our comfort zone today. And so Matt and I are going to try to lead you into an area where you can feel comfortable getting outside of that comfort zone and talking to people about a little bit more deep subjects, right? It can't just be, oh, I don't want a vaccine, and so I'm not going to take it. It's no one can make me do something with my body that I don't approve of. And not only that, for, you know, 240-ish years, the Constitution has said that you can't do that either. And so we're holding the line firm, and we're not going to allow you to do that because we're going to hold you accountable for that. Okay. So that, you know, we could go on and on for that. You know, we're going to wrap this episode up, but there is a lot we still can do, but it all involves more than just in front of your keyboard, right? It involves getting out and doing things, right? Making phone calls, sending emails.
Yeah. And Jason says, you know, talking to your elected officials, understand this, guys, being a patriot is not a single act. It's a way of life. Meaning, yes, you know, call your congressman's office, learn about what his or her viewpoints are on the different, you know, policies, the different bills, the different laws, et cetera, and get to know them. You know their name. Do you know their name? Do they know your name? You could be a partner, an encourager, because they're people too. Okay. And in terms of taking action, we're not announcing it now, but Jason and I are working on something which will help move the needle, which every single one of you can get involved with, which will affect our nation over time in a very positive way. We're not going to tell you about it now, but we're working on something, right, Jason?
Such a tease. Yep.
It's a good tease. And I'm telling you, it's going to grow over the years, and it will make a difference. And I'll don't say anything more. Jason, you want to?
Yeah. So let's wrap this episode up. You know, we've only gone through 12 of the grievances. There's 27. We'll cover the rest of them as well as the closing in our next episode. So definitely go back and review episode one and this one before we get to our next episode. But today, you know, grievances 1 through 12, you know, this is the beginning of what our founders said. Look, we're going to submit these facts to a candid world. We are going to tell our brothers and sisters in England, you know, why we're separating, but we're also letting the rest of the world know that these things are not okay with us. And they deal generally, the majority of the ones we cover today deal with the legislatures not being able to, it deals with the king interfering with those legislatures. As we learned back when we talked about the, you know, John Locke's Second Treatise of Government again, the first thing a civil society does is determine how they're going to make laws that everybody is going to live by. If you take that away, you really don't have a civil society. And so the king, you know, diving into all these legislatures and dissolving them and not reinstating them and making sure that they have certain wording in them that is beneficial to him and not to the colonists. All those things are interfering with one of the first aim of government, right? So, and then of course, there was a couple in there that dealt with, you know, him, you know, trying to, you know, send his swarms of people, you know, and then bureaucrats to eat out our substance, you know, and interfering with our judicial system, right? Independent judiciary, taking that away from us to make sure that he's in control. Again, all these things point to his being a tyrant. So hope you guys have pulled some interesting nuggets out. And, you know, I like the way Matt reiterated, you know, or I guess it was Charlie Kirk who said, you know, history rhymes. Maybe it doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. So hopefully you've captured some of the things that happened back then that caused us to want to remain independent and can compare it to what's happening today.
Yeah. And as we sign off here, one note, and we'll develop it on a later episode, is that chaos makes tyranny easy, either to maintain tyranny or to inject tyranny. If we're going to study further Karl Marx and his ideology of basically, you know, communism, understand this, guys, communism is tyranny retailed, meaning they put it in a package. It's all packaged to sell to the masses euphoria or utopia. And it's to sell to the elitist or The Power Hungry, How to Stay in Power. It's even have new improved versions. let's see. There was the Frankfurt School that said attack the society and the culture. And there have been other improvements. And
yeah, today we call progressivism improved. Sometimes.
Bingo. Oh, I still want to talk about this. So yeah. There's a lot to talk about. Stay with us. Follow us, guys. Share this with your friends. You matter and your voice matters. So thank you, Jason. Great work today. Folks, thank you very much for joining us. Please go to patriotcoalitionlive.com for more information. Patriotcoalitionlive.com. Your support is a big help to us. Subscribe to Patriot Coalition Live, wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Please give us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or topics you'd like for us to address, leave us a message at the website. We would love to hear from you. Okay. So thanks again, everyone. We'll see you here next time.
Thanks, gang. Till next time.
Okay.